Welcome. Windswept. That's the title of this message. Let's look at Isaiah 59:19 from the scriptures. And they shall fear the name of Yahweh Hodveh from the west, and his esteem from the rising of the sun. When he comes in like a distressing stream, which the Spirit of Yahweh drives on. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion and to those turning from transgression in Yaakov, declares Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I've put in your mouth shall not be withdrawn from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says Yahweh, from this time and forever. Let's look in the King James, Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the Lord, the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, remember the scripture said a distressing stream, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression. And Jacob says, the Lord, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. In this past week, there has been a huge storm that has come from Nevada, Utah, through the Sierra Nevadas in California, and then drop down into the San Joaquin Valley, all the way down to Los Angeles. There were unprecedented high winds, high velocity winds in the canyons and mountaintops. In some places, I live up here in the mountains, the winds were 100 miles an hour. Down in Los Angeles, they were 90 miles an hour. Power went out, trees, huge cedars, crashed on houses, and took them out. And power lines all over the place. I mean, all over the place. And the water lines also were affected. And this was, and it takes a long time to recover out of this. Psalm 29 was another scripture that was read. Give unto the Lord, O mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. And the Nevadas, he makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, these were scriptures that we were getting in prayer before this windstorm came. And God was talking about, again, in Revelation 12, 15, so the serpent spewed out water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And we were talking about now all these people have had their source of strength taken from them and their usual mode of operating. And the Lord says it is his glory and it is his strength. The enemy has come in, but the Lord has used it to bring a standard, to set up a standard of righteousness, to set up a standard in his house. This is what the Lord says, because you've been ruled by the world. You've been ruled by the temporal. You've been ruled by your own passions and lusts. When that is broken, then perhaps in God's discipline through judgment, you will repent and come back to the living God. not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, in the midst of this, it's very interesting because I was listening to a gentleman who talked about Einstein's theory of relativity, and I began discussing it with a woman who is a physicist. And this man, I'm very interested in reading his works. I have not yet, but I did hear him, and he was articulating that when energy, that time and space, when it's time is speeded up in space, it can bend or fold. And therefore, the faster you go, the time changes. And this woman was saying, yes, that's correct. They have to have the GPS satellite systems compensate for that change. And she said, not only that, she says, but it takes the power, the energy of the universe to go the speed of light. And boom, it popped right into my mind. God is light, and there is no darkness in him. He said when he created, it says in Genesis, that when God spoke, and who is the spoken word? Yeshua. He is the word made flesh. He is God. He is light. Then God said, let there, Genesis 1:3, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That is, so when God said, let there be light, with that word, he created the universe. Wow. And you are children of light. Those who are following the light have the glory of God, have the light resting in him. And the light shines and shows up the darkness. And God's glory is an awesome and fearsome thing. When it says in Psalm 29 about the glory of the Lord, ooh, God does these things for his, he's going to be glorified. He will be glorified. He will, he will, he will. And in his temple, when he speaks and he shakes the wilderness and causes all the trees to fall over and the power lines and everything to woo. And I'm telling you, you are well aware that you are not in control when the forces and the power of nature under the command of God shake you down. And you can't save your own life, man, woman, child. And in his temple, everyone says glory. And what is the glory of the Lord? The glory of God is the fear of his judgments. Moses saw God's glory, and it was poured out in judgment and wrath on Pharaoh and Egypt. Egypt stands for the world systems, the worldly systems of the earth. So let all in his temple cry glory. Now, before we go to the glory of the Lord's temple, let me just reflect on one other thing, that there's huge electromagnetic storms that are being released, solar flares from the sun, and they hit the earth about a week ago, several days before the winds came up. And because the Lord is light, because his power, there is power in that light, when those storms, when the sun storms and flares come and scorch the earth and bring judgment on it, the winds stir up. He's in the wind and he's in the fire, it says in Psalm 29. And everyone in his temple will cry glory. She says in us, the temple, in Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. This is the glory of the Lord. Now, in his temple. Well, who's his temple? We are his temple. No, you're not. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple. You and I, we are the temple, and his glory rests in us. His light is in us. You are children of light. You are not children of darkness, so don't do the deeds of the darkness any longer. And the deeds of the darkness are obvious: lasciviousness, drunkenness, immorality, thieving, stealing, murder, lying, all these things. Those are who the sons of darkness are, the sons of Belial. And this is on. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come. The sons of God, the sons of light, the children of light are rising up as the children of darkness are being shown their darkness and commanded to come out of their darkness into the light and save their eternal souls rather than ending up in eternal darkness. And you are his house. Jesus said, you are his temple. You are the body of the Lord. And what does the temple look like? Well, let's take this next step into that in John 15. John 15. Now, Jesus was the light. Yeshua was the light to the Gentiles. He was the light that came out of Galilee. A great light has shone. The light of salvation to those that were in darkness. That's us. And then Yeshua teaches here on John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I'm going to stop and just talk about this passage, verses 1 through 8, and then we'll progress. Jesus says he's the true vine, and that his Father is the vine dresser. So this is a parable, and he says, now you have to, every branch that is in him that doesn't bear fruit, he's going to cut it off. And those that do bear fruit, he's going to prune it, that you may bear more fruit. So here he talks about the work that happens, that under discipline and discipleship, we cut and trim, just like a vine dresser, a husbandman does in the vineyard. When you take some grapes, you put them up on a trellis and you tie them up, and then there's rows, and you train the vine and you tie the vine to the lattice or the fence work, so that the vine is not on the ground, and when the fruit comes, it becomes corrupt, being in the dirt or being carnal. And this is the work. So then there's a pruning, a cutting back in the fall. When you come, you'll see vineyards cut back to the stump so that a fresh branch will come forward. A fresh branch will come out and then come up along the vine. And then in the spring, it bears the leaves and flowers, and then fruit in the fall, and it's cut off. Now, those that don't bear fruit, that aren't abiding, the Lord cuts them off. You are already clean because of the words which I've spoken to you. Now, this is for the Lord's disciples. So we're talking a level of commitment and discipleship. Abide in me and I in you, Yeshua says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So it's the Holy Spirit working in you, writing his laws and commandments that enables you by abiding in Jesus to bear fruit. You can't do this in the flesh. This is a spiritual kingdom with fruit. And what is fruit? It is the reflection of the Father and the Son. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. unless you're doing it in the flesh, and it's carnal, and it's going to be cut off. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. And you see this in the fall or after a storm such as we had. There's all these branches that have been broken off and cut off, and they're not good for anything. They're really, I mean, they're okay for kindling, but they just take up space, and they need to be put in a pile and burned off. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. Why? Because your desires will be holy. They will be by of the Lord, because you are abiding in him, and he will enable you and cause you to have those desires, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And that is the qualifier. And it will look like God. And God is love. And all the fruit is bound up in love. That is the measuring line. In essentials, St. Augustine said, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And everything, love, charity. Let's look at verses 9 through 17. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. That's the fruit. He says, you'll bear much fruit, you'll bear much love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So that's the qualifier. Someone who's abiding in the love of God keeps his commandments. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And Jesus is the perfect reflection of the Father. These things I have spoken to you, that you, my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is the greatest commandment. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And this, all the law and the prophets are, says Jesus. And then he goes on to qualify, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. If you love me, you will obey me. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you my friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And then this is discipleship. At first, we serve the Lord, and we're learning to hear his voice. My sheep know my voice. They don't go to the voice of another. And then he speaks to us, and we're being trained and discipled, disciplined, and the word is coming into us, the word of the Holy Scriptures. And then we begin to hear the word, and then we come closer and closer. This is a developed relationship, an abiding relationship where we're no longer servants, then we're friends. And then God calls his servants no longer but friends, because he's telling them what he's doing. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. In other words, you are in unity when you ask in the Lord in Jesus' name, and it will be done. These things I commanded you, that you love one another. Why? Because they don't. God is love, and that abiding, that's a sap. That love is operating in our life and moving. And it is by that we know. You can have a lot of truth, you can have no love. If you love me, you will love the truth, 1 Corinthians 13. So it's these things that we love one another. How do they know we are Christians? They know we are Christians by our love we have for one another. Not by our great, you know, doctrine, but by our great love that is unselfish, that is giving, that is contrary to the world and worldliness, and contrary to a worldly church also. Now let us continue in John 15 with verses 8 through 25, the world's hatred. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love its own. In other words, if you're in the world, they're going to love you. But if you're not, they're going to hate you. Yet because you are not of the world, But I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember, the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. In other words, God the Father. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. In other words, the accountability is here now because the word has come. He spoke to them. He who hates me hates my Father also. That's very clear. If you hate Jesus, you hate the Father. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. Now, pretty generally, he's talking about the religious leaders of the time. But this happened that the word must be fulfilled, which was written in their law meaning the Mosaic law. They hated me without a cause. So this is pretty much addressed to those who follow the Jewish law and hate Jesus. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, these things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. In other words, I'm telling you ahead of time because don't think people are just going to accept you because you're speaking the word of truth and you've received it and you're abiding and it's bearing fruit. They won't. If they're worldly, if they hate the Father, God, and Jesus, they're going to hate you. And they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes. So this was talking to the Jewish leaders. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I've told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Now that was to the end of 16:14. And then the Lord begins to instruct on the work of the Holy Spirit. Here God is teaching about the Father God, his Father Jesus, that he and Jesus are one. And then he goes on to speak about the work of the Holy Spirit. This is where we get the doctrine or teaching on the triune God, who is one with three aspects of his personality. We are going to take this now, this abiding, and we're going to move it into the house. Jesus said, you destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up again. And he wasn't speaking about the earthly temple that the Jews had built, the old Mosaic law and all of that. He was talking about the temple that we are, the body of Christ. And we will look at the building, how the house is built. How the house is built in the next section, which will be Zechariah 3:4. Zechariah chapter 3. Then he showed me Yahshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. This is a vision that Zechariah had of the courts of heaven before the Lord's throne. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the Lord. And the Lord was referring here to who Joshua was. He is a brand plucked from the fire. And Jerusalem, which means city peace, and that's us, when we have peace in us, my peace I leave unto you, not the peace of the world. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Peace, my peace I leave with you, Yeshua said. The Lord has chosen those, and he puts his peace in them. And then he says, is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And then he spoke and stood to those, and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I've removed your iniquity from you. I will clothe you with rich robes. Now, it is often conjectured that the angel here is the angel of the Lord, a theophany, a pre-incarnate Jesus, that Joshua, which means salvation, the high priest, was supposed to be a reflection of, but he was just a man. And therefore, it took Yeshua, the Lord, to take away his filthy garments. And so it is with us. We are brands plucked from the fire. We are called, and the Lord rebukes Satan for our sake, because Satan's an accuser, and he's a legalist, and what he says is correct. The Lord chooses us, and he says, now, take away the filthy garments. I will remove your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And these rich robes indicates the works of the Lord and the Lord's righteousness, and all that he does in and through us by his great power. This Jesus. Now, he says, I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. So they are, whoever the servants of the Lord are in the heavenly realm, put a clean turban or a mitre, a fair mitre, it says. It's a crown. It's a, your thought life. He took off the old raggedy turban and he put on a clean. He cleaned. It was clean thoughts. He washed it. It was a clean garment. Clean thinking. No more stinking thinking. This turban was on his head and they put the clothes on him, which were rich clothes. And the angel of the Lord stood by and watched all of this. The angel of the Lord is the one who took away his iniquity. And we know that Jesus, Yeshua, Yahshua, is the one who takes away our iniquity in one day. And then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts. Now, this is interesting because the angel of the Lord is admonishing him, prophesying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if... Now, when we know the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, is the spirit of Jesus. Now, I don't know of any other angels anywhere that prophesied and spoke in the name of the Lord. If you walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Now, his courts were in Jerusalem, but it was also before the Lord's throne. And the Lord, so there's the two dimensions going on here, this one in Jerusalem and this one in the spiritual heavenly courts. And this angel of the Lord is saying, if you walk in my ways, says the Lord of hosts, and this is the charge. This is the commission to the high priest. And we are called to be a royal priesthood. Royal robes, turban, rich garments. And we are called to walk in his ways and keep his command. Then we are given judge of his house and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among those who stand there. Well, Kathleen, what you need to document that a little bit more. I will. In Revelation chapter 2, 26, and he overcomes and keeps my works until the end. To him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. I have also received from my father, and I will give them the morning star. And also to the Laodicean church In verse 21, chapter 3, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That is a place of rested government and judgment. Hear this, verse 8, Zechariah 3:8. O Joshua the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you. These are the elders in the courts of Jerusalem, the elders in the New Jerusalem in heaven, who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I'm bringing forth my servant, the capital branch. My servant, the branch. Who is my servant, the branch? If you abide in me and I abide in you, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You shall bring forth, you shall bear fruit. And what else? Behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, a tried stone, a sure stone. Who is the cornerstone? For behold, the stone that I've laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. That's the sevenfold spirit of God. And behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. And the Lord has often said that he is the cornerstone of the temple. Behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, a tried stone, a sure stone. He who believes in me shall not fail. Behold, I lay in Zion, Isaiah 28, for a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. I will also make justice measuring line, a righteous plummet, and the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled. What's your covenant with death? Anytime you break God's commandments, sin and death. When the overflowing scourge passes through, what was the scripture we cited? Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord will raise up his standard. Then you will be trampled out down by it, and he will be a driving wind and a cleansing flood. And this is the call and the commission, and it's a type. Now, the high priest, you know, was standing before the angel of the Lord, probably on Yom Kippur, probably on the day of the Lord, when he went into the Holy of Holies, the day of the Lord, the Lord's day, that day. The iniquity was taken from the land in one day, the high holy day of the day of judgment. Let's go into Zechariah 4 and see how this charge to the high priest is going to be executed. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with gold, with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Now, this speaks of the menorah in the temple. What do you see? Well, I see the menorah in the temple. I see a lampstand of solid gold beaten out of one piece of gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. And that's how the menorah was made. It had seven lamps. And they went into the one stamp, into the one stand, or the seven pipes from the bowls went into the stem, the lamp stand. Two olive trees, and it's all solid gold. It speaks of the glory of God, gold. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Now that's the first section of the word that was given. This is to Zerubbabel. He was the overseer, the leader of the Hebrews in Israel at the time of Zechariah. And he's saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. You can do nothing. You can do nothing apart from the Lord. That is the Lord's work. It is not by your own might or your own power. It will be broken and cut off. If it is by your own might and your own power, it will be thrown in the fire. But it's by the Spirit. It's the lampstand that goes in the temple. It's the seven lamps. It's the seven churches burning with the oil of the Holy Spirit. It's by His Spirit. It's the seven eyes on the cornerstone. They're on the stone or seven eyes, which are engraved in an inscription. Okay? And he says, Jesus said, who are you, O great mountain? Now, this was a mountain, and it had to be leveled in order to build the temple. And Jesus said, if you do anything in my name, okay, if you have faith as a mustard seed and say to the mountain, be removed, it will be moved. And he shall bring forth the capstone, that's the keystone, the very top of the arch stone that holds the whole arch together, with shouts of grace, grace to it. It's by grace, because God is the one who called Joshua, plucked him out of the fire, he plucks us out of the fire, and then as we progressively work through this establishing the holy temple, we are the temple, we are established. We are the ones that God establishes. And he establishes his lampstand, his oil, his anointing. We keep his commands and his grace, his righteousness, his works, his turban. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Let me say that no matter what work God calls you to do, no matter what circumstance you are found in or born into, your work, if it's called by the Lord, don't despise the smallness of it. Because it's up to the Spirit of the Lord to build it and to grow and increase. But anything you do by your own might or power, no matter how great it is, or building program, or I did this or that for you, Lord, he said, well, my spirit didn't call you to do this. God's hand will lay it. He is the capstone and the cornerstone, Yeshua. And we line up the plumb line and the plummet and the level with the architect, the chief architect of the universe, Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus our Savior. And we don't despise these small things. For the seven eyes rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. And the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth. And these are God's. It also says the eyes of the Lord search to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those who wait for him to do his work. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. And it is implied that these are the two witnesses in Revelation. I believe it's chapter 11. Let me check. It is an indication, yes. So the Lord richly bless you as you do build according to the apostles and prophets, the 12. And as the elders, the 12 tribes, that the elders in heaven, the New Jerusalem, and their building program according to, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God bless you and goodbye.